Well, it's been some time since I made up my mind to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I've faced the fear, I've shed many tears, but Jesus has stood by my side. When I hear Satan say, "You're not even saved, you're traveling down the wrong track," well, I recall once again where grace withstood sin. Down memory's lane, I take him back, and I take him back to the time at an old-fashioned meeting when the presence of God filled the air, when the saints were singing with praise and glory, sweet melody seasoned with prayer. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave, and I walked him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell and I know I got saved. Well, I never knew love till it came from above and took its abode in my heart. Well, now the sun now shines brighter, my burdens are lighter, since Jesus gave me a new heart. Now my songs have been changed, my life's rearranged, my journey is now a new road. And when that old accuser tells me I am a loser, I remind him how he lost my soul, and I take him back to the time at an old-fashioned meeting when the presence of God filled the air, when the saints were singing of praise and glory, sweet melody seasoned with prayer. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave, and I walked him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell and I know I got saved. I'm saved.
I hope you know that you know. I hope you can go back to that place in your mind. Not long ago, I was driving down in East Texas and getting ready to go to a meeting there, and a preacher friend was with me, and he said, "Brother Smith, if we got time, would you show me where you used to live and where you got saved?" And so I detoured and took the little journey around there and took him to the place, told him when it happened, pointed out even a tree that after the service I came and just was so overwhelmed by God's goodness that I laid my head on that tree and just sobbed with thanksgiving. Thank God you can remember a no-so salvation. And if you can't go back and remember, you need to listen to the message this morning very carefully. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. Ask you to be sure and be here in the service tonight. Evangelist Sam Gilp will be here preaching, and he'll be with us Sunday night and Wednesday night, and he'll be speaking in our college Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. He'll be teaching 3 hours a morning and then preaching chapel at 11 o'clock. And we want you to be sure and plan on being here for these services in the church. And if you can get away and be at the chapel service, we certainly invite you to come. Brother Sam Gilp is one of the most knowledgeable men I've ever met on the Bible. He not only knows the Bible, he knows about the Bible. He can defend the Bible. I can't tell you how many times a year that man reads through the Bible, but he doesn't just read through it. He also goes back and studies it. And you will be helped and you will be blessed in these services. Sam Gilp is also probably one of the funniest men I've ever met in my life, not because he tells jokes, but just his natural wit. And you will enjoy him, and you will be blessed by his preaching. I want you to be sure and be here. It's good to have a pastor from Boulder City, Nevada, Pioneer Baptist Church. He and his wife are in our service. Your name again, sir? Neil Hampton. Please forgive me for not remembering that. Sometimes I write my wife's name down so I'll remember it from day to day also. But Brother Hampton, Ms. Hampton, they grew up in the area and God moved them out there and they're visiting family. It's an honor to have you in our service. And I'm sure people are encouraged that preachers go to church when they're out of town. So open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 28. And out of love and respect for God's Word, let's stand together. And I shall ask that you begin to read with me in verse number 15. Now, in the previous chapters, Jeremiah has got the message from God that God was going to send Babylon into Jerusalem to overthrow it and take the people into captivity. They were going to be in bondage and servitude. And God said, I want you to preach the message, but I want you to illustrate it while you preach it. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get an ox yoke. And I want you to put this ox yoke around your neck. And then I want you to preach. And I want you to tell the people that just as you're going to be, you are in that yoke of bondage and servitude, they're about to be taken into captivity and will be in servitude and bondage to Babylon. Now, that's the background for this message. And the Bible says in verse number 15, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, two prophets, Jeremiah and Hananiah. Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust a lie. So Hananiah had told the people something as a prophet that was not true. Here's what he had told them. He said, Jeremiah's preaching a lie. In 2 years, Babylon will be destroyed. And you'll be living in Jerusalem in peace. So don't listen to his message. That was what that prophet said. But God's prophet said, that's a lie. And listen to what he said. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now I want you to notice that statement that God told Jeremiah to give to Hananiah. This year, thou shalt die. And I want to speak to you using that as the subject for my message. This year, thou shalt die. Father, help me as I bring this message, that I might speak plainly and simply so people can understand exactly what's being said. And Holy Spirit of God, I'm not going to try to entertain, and I'm not going to try to preach a super great message, but I do want to preach truth, and I do want to sound a warning. And I pray that you'll give me liberty and power to do that in clarity and simplicity so the youngest person here can understand exactly what's being said. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll use the message to bring conviction upon every heart. Some who need to be saved. Some who need to get right about things that are not right in their Christian life. I ask you, Father, to save every unsaved person in this building and on our property in other places where the Word of God's being preached. And we'll thank you for all you shall do in Jesus' name. For it's in Christ's name I ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Hananiah was a prophet that no longer spake for God. God had told Jeremiah the prophet to prophesy to the people that judgment was about to come in the form of Babylonian captivity. The Bible tells us that he had raised up Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire for the purpose of bringing judgment against God's people, against his own people, because of their idolatry. They would not get right. They would not listen to God and obey God. So God is going to deal with it. God had told Jeremiah to illustrate their bondage by putting this ox yoke around his neck. And Hananiah had the audacity to come up and break the yoke and take it away from Jeremiah and tell the people, it's not going to happen that way. In 2 years, Babylon will be destroyed and you'll live in peace. His message was exactly the opposite of Jeremiah's message, the message God had told him to preach. Now, let me stop right here and say this is a good place to insert the fact that there's a great number of preachers today like Hananiah. They might have one time spoken for God, but they got too big for their britches. They thought they knew more than God. They thought they had gotten bigger than God. So that instead of preaching God's message, they started preaching messages that appealed to the people and pleased the people. They're everywhere today. You can hear them on television. You can listen to their messages on the internet. But oh, I thank God there's still some old-fashioned Bible-believing preachers, some prophets of God that still believe the Bible is true and are honest to God and honorable to God in their preaching. And the people, when they stand up to preach, can depend on them preaching the Word of God. And that's what we need today. As a result of Hananiah's false prophecy, God told Jeremiah to tell Hananiah that he is going to cast him off of the face of the earth. He wouldn't be doing any more of his preaching. People wouldn't remember him because this year thou shalt die. According to history, less than 3 months later, Hananiah died just like God said he would. Now, what if God sent you word that this year you shall die? How would you react? If you were in Hananiah's place and you got the message from God, would you ignore it? Would you say, oh, that's just Jeremiah, that's not God. Ignore it. That's just the preacher. We know better. Or are there some things that you'd like to get right? There's some things you need to get right before you face God. What would you do differently If God spoke to you and said, this year thou shalt die. Say, preacher, that's gruesome. You better stop and think about it. It's fact. The fact is that there are people listening to my voice today that'll face their eternity in the next 12 months. Most people who do die, die without advanced warning. It's a blessed thing if you're reminded that you've got a little while to get some things right. I remember, and it happens almost every winter here in Texas and Oklahoma, where we don't get a lot of snow, but we'll get ice. And sometimes it'll drizzle a little bit, and the water will turn to black ice on the highway. And just a few years ago, I remember reading the story about a young man in Duncanville that was driving down the road and hit some black ice and skid into a parked car and was killed just like that. Didn't get in his car knowing that he was going to die. But he died that quickly. I saw Mrs. Wilson here somewhere. Where's Miss Wilson? She was. But nevertheless, just a few years ago, Mrs. Wilson's sister had a coughing spell. And she passed out, and they rushed her to the doctor, to the hospital, and on the way to the hospital, she died. Just that quick with a coughing spell. We've heard on the news recently about the two earthquakes in the Pacific and the tsunami that's killed hundreds and perhaps thousands just in the last few weeks. The last few days they were sitting at supper or at a meal or sleeping or going about their business, and that quick, they're gone. They had to face eternity. A few years ago, my sister had cooked a meal and put it in containers and was taking it to the rest home. Pulled up on a railroad track and was hit by a train and killed instantly. She didn't get in her car to die. She never dreamed that she was going to face eternity that quick. My father got up as he did every day except Sunday and saw the mailman pass by out in the country, and he started walking from the porch to the mailbox, picked up the mail, turned around and got about halfway back, leaned up against a tree, and went out into eternity just that quick. You say, this is gruesome. You better stop and realize that life is uncertain. And this may be the year you face eternity. Most people die without any advanced warning. I remember one Sunday, a man sitting right back here got up and walked down the aisle, got saved, was baptized. He is so excited about it. That week, on Interstate 20, he ran out of gas, got out of his vehicle and was going to go across the line of traffic to a service station. A car hit him, killed him, just that quick. Thousands of Americans die every year, and they'll go to the doctor thinking everything's all right, and they'll hear the word, I'm sorry to tell you, but you've got less than a year to live. My brother-in-law, his name was Doug, went to the doctor just like that. Started having a few problems and went to the doctor. The doctor did examination and test and said to him, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. You have cancer, and it's beyond anything we can do. You've got less than a year. And in less than a year, he is gone. Now, the only thing that's certain in this life is that if Jesus does not come back soon, every one of us will hear these words, this year, thou shalt die. we'll experience an unexpected death. Now, my message is simple this morning. If you receive this message today from God, and you had a few moments or a few months to live, what would you do differently in your life? May I say, first of all, it's a terrible thing if we're living such a way that if we got the message this year we're going to die, we'd have to change some things to be right with God. But the truth is, most people, if they got that message, would have some things in their life they'd want to do differently. Let me ask you, first of all, would you check up on your salvation? When my brother-in-law got that message, he called me and asked me to come see him, and I went down to see him, and he said, "Bob, I want to know for sure I'm saved the Bible way. I want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I don't have but just a little time left, and I don't want any question marks." He got saved older in life. He wasn't raised in a Bible-believing church or in a church, and he had a lot of things he did not know, but there was a time just a few years before that he had accepted Christ as Savior. So I took the Bible and I sat down with him and I went step by step through salvation's plan. And I showed him how he could be saved and know it. And each time he said, "I know that. I've done that. I've done what God said do." I said, "All right, do you believe Jesus did what God said He'd do? Do you believe He died for you and that He forgave your sin when you asked Him? And He saved your soul?" And he said, "Yes, I do. I believe." And he said, "It's settled. It's settled." And he thanked me. And we had prayer. And just a little while, just a few months, I preached his funeral. But he got that message. He had an opportunity. And he wanted to check up and make sure everything was okay when it came to salvation. How about you? Do you know everything's okay about your salvation? Are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know it or do you have doubts about it? I'm here to tell you, most people tell me, "Well, I hope I'm going to make it to heaven." Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to just live on hope-sos. You can live on no-sos if you'll get saved the Bible way. Do you know? Would you check up on your salvation? Multitudes are facing eternity with false hopes. They'll go to heaven, but they want to go to heaven. They hope they'll go to heaven, but don't have the foggiest idea about what the Bible says about being saved. Do you know? Can you take the Bible and show me how you got saved? We have a group of children in our church that are in our Reapers program. This is first through sixth graders. And in our Reapers program, they're taught how to lead someone to Christ. And then Harvesters on Saturday, the same group, go out and put in practice what they've been taught. And I was out soul winning one day with a couple of our Reapers Harvesters group. And I don't like to go with them because of the simple fact that they won't let me talk. They won't do the talking. And so they were going through, this one was going through the plan of salvation, and this man said, "Well, I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'm saved." And then that little young boy, that 7 or 8 year old boy, said, "Sir, would you mind telling me what you base your salvation on?" Man, I like that. And I've got to ask you that question. What do you base your salvation on? Hopes and feelings, or do you base it on the Word of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ? You may not like the message. You may not like to think about dying. But you'd better think about it, because you're going to be there one day. And it may be quicker than you think. You better settle it. What do you base your salvation on today? If you don't know 100% sure, There's a good chance you're not saved. There's a good chance you've never been born again. And I certainly want to know that I know that I know I'm saved when I face eternity. Second thing I want to ask you, if you got the message, this year thou shalt die, would you do anything differently about serving God in your local church? Many are facing eternity and God having been saved but never even baptized after they got saved. Now, I can't understand that, because the first thing God asks every believer to do after he's saved is to make public profession of that faith by believer's baptism. Now, some people don't get baptized because of ignorance. Nobody's ever told them they needed to. You don't have that excuse. Others do it because of rebellion. You know the truth and refuse to obey God anyway. Which is the case with you? Would you do anything differently about your Christian life in your local church? You know, baptism is the very first thing God asks us to do. What a terrible thing for us to willingly ignore it or rebel against it. You know, we're going to be surprised at all the things and blessings we missed just because we didn't obey God. And let me say to you, God did not establish the local church for Christians to use when convenient. He didn't establish it just for weddings and funerals. In fact, I challenge you to show me in the Bible one person getting married in church. Or one person getting buried in a church. Then why did he establish the church? He used it as a base for Christians to be faithful and learn and grow and serve God, to evangelize the world, to fulfill the Great Commission. I was visiting with Brother Poole yesterday. He said, the thing I'm missing most is church. The fellowship of God's people. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to be faithful. You see, the church is the place for our spiritual growth, for our learning and growing and service in the Christian life. I promise you, if you don't go to church regularly, you don't serve God either. In fact, if you're not faithful in church, you probably haven't grown much in your Christian life. And you probably don't tithe or give to missions or pray or read your Bible or witness for the Lord either. If you got the message, this year you're going to die, would you do anything differently about serving God in your local church? Well, wouldn't it be wonderful that when that message comes, we can say, don't have to do a thing. Best I know how, the best I know in every area of my life, I'm trying to do and be what God wants me to be. Would you have to do some things differently? You're going to find out just how important the church is to the Lord Jesus Christ when you stand before Him. It's His bride. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the only organization He organized and commissioned and empowered to carry the gospel around the world. And the only people on this earth He expects to fulfill that is Christians assembled and in a fellowship of faith in the gospel to carry out the work of the Lord Jesus, the church. Thirdly, if you got this message, this year thou shalt die, would you rework your prayer life? Prayer is not a spiritual 911 number. It's not something we use only in case of emergency. Prayer is communion with God and fellowship with God and praise to God and worship of God. Prayer is also a spiritual hotline and a helpline to heaven. God doesn't tell us just to use it in emergency. God tells us to pray without ceasing and pray about everything and in all ways, in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. We're told to pray and not faint. Christians don't pray enough. Our prayer life is near non-existent. If you knew that you was going to face God this year, you was going to die, would you rework your prayer life? Would you get serious about praying? Well, you tell me. What's different about that situation and the situation you're going through now? Do you not have difficulties and heartaches and problems and burdens? Do you not have a marriage and children? Do you not have a job and needs in your life? Do you not face temptation and trials? Do you not get tired and struggle in areas of your life? God gave us prayer to help us overcome those things and gain victories in those areas. If you got that message today, this year you're going to die. What would you need to make right in reference to your family? What would you need to make right in reference to your family? I'm amazed at sons and daughters that haven't spoken to parents in years. I'm amazed at brothers and sisters that have separated from one another because of anger or greed. I'm amazed at prodigals that have never gone home to say, "I'm sorry." I'm amazed at people who live their life hating their father or hating their mother or blaming someone in their family because of their foolish errors and foolishness. If God said to you this morning, "This year thou shalt die," would you have to check up on your salvation? Would you do anything differently about serving God in your church? Why, some of you would be willing to do what God asked you to do a long time ago. Teach a class, or work a bus route, or learn how to be a soul winner and a witness. Sing in the choir. Ought to be doing it because we love God, not just because we're going to die in a year. Then lastly, if you got that message, if God said to a preacher, "I want you to deliver this message to this person, this year thou shalt die," is there anyone you'd want to get saved before you left this life? Is there anyone that you know and care about you'd like for them to get saved? I remember the testimony of old Dr. Hatch. Dr. Hatch is with the Lord now. But when he got saved, his family wasn't saved. His mama and daddy or his brothers weren't saved. And old Dr. Hatch bought a bus ticket and went to their house one by one in the different cities where they lived. He didn't know anything about the Bible, but he knew how to get saved. And one by one, went to them and said, "I want you to look right here in Rome chapter 3. Didn't even know to call it Romans. And one by one, he led his family members to Christ. If you knew this year you was going to die and not live, is there anyone you'd want to get saved? How about your mom and dad? Are they saved? You know, I'm glad. Mom and dad are already in heaven. I'm sure glad I can live with that knowledge. I'm sure thankful that I know that they're saved. I have brothers and sisters that have already died, and I'm glad to tell you there was a time when they accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and I'll see them again in heaven. My sisters that are still alive, each one have accepted Christ at one time and know that heaven's their home. What a joy and a peace that is. I want to know that my children are saved. Oh, I'd like to know that all my grandchildren are saved. You see, there's some people in this world that you may be the only person saved they know. You may be the only opportunity they have to hear the gospel. And you've made excuses. You've put it off. You've never witnessed to them. You've never told them about Jesus. If this year God said, you're going to die, is there anyone you'd want to get saved before you left this life? Brother, sister, parents, friends, neighbors, wife, husband. If you don't love their soul, maybe nobody else in this world does except God. If you don't care about them, who will? I'd hate to know some stranger would care more about my loved ones than I care about them. I'd hate to know some stranger would witness to them. And I know Jesus and I haven't. We live a frail life, a frail body. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Is there someone you want to get saved before you leave this life? You better not put off witnessing to them. There's some letters you need to write and some calls you need to make and some visits you need to make and some people you need to look at face to face and tell them your desire for them to get saved. You say, but they may just push me aside. If they do, then at least I can face God and say, Lord, I tried to tell them. What a terrible sin is when they're going to hell and we don't even try to be a witness to them. Let me conclude. One day, whether you like it or not, you're going to hear this message. This year thou shalt die. Or your death's going to be sudden and you have no time to plan. I'm simply saying don't put off making preparation until you get the message. Don't put it off until it's too late. Don't make excuses. Do what you ought to do for God now because it's right. It's right to be saved and know it. It's right to serve God in our local church. It's right to be faithful in prayer. It's right to get our relationship with our family right with God. It's right to get our loved ones saved. Don't put it off. Take care of that now while you have opportunity. You say, well, I may live 10 more years. Well, hallelujah, you can have fellowship with them 10 years. They'll be in heaven too. Listen to me. If you're here today and you're unsaved, you better learn this. You can't buy life insurance after you're pronounced dead. And you can't get saved after you've died. If you're going to get saved, you've got to do it now. You can't get right after you die. You can't get your loved one saved after you die. Your opportunity now. You can't get in church and serve God after you die. You can't get wrongs made right after you die. I'm simply saying to you, take the message to heart and take advantage of the opportunity to deal with those things now so you can live right and enjoy your Christian life now day by day. Then when that day comes, you can face Jesus without hanging your head in shame. You can face Jesus rejoicing and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Father, that's our message this morning. Very different kind of message on a Sunday morning. Lord, with all the things going on around us, with the sicknesses, the uncertainty in our land, and the storms and earthquakes and tsunamis, and people are dying all around us day after day. It would do us good to stop and take notice of our life and our relationship with you and others. Someone here today needs to get saved. Someone needs to get assurance of their salvation. Someone needs to get their life right with God and get in church and begin to serve you. Someone needs to quit making excuses about their family. Build some bridges and get some things right, so they don't have to face God unashamed. Well, there's Christians here that can't even get along with husband and wife. And if they did pray, you tell us you'd not answer their prayers. God, we just need to do some necessary work on our spiritual life so we can be right with you. One of these days we're going to face you. Sure, we'd be good so that that might be a hallelujah day and a victory day instead of a day of regret and a day of shame. Speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.